Recording is now started. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the PPSAI call on the 21st of July, 2015. On the call today, we have Val Sherman, Steve Metallis, Holly Raich, Sarah Wild, Todd Williams, Alex Deacon, James Liddell, Phil Corwin, David Heasley, Terry Stone, Vicky Schlecker, Karen Malin-Shaverville, Jim Bykoff, Volker Greiman, and Darcy Sudwell. We received apologies from Don Blumenthal, Graham Brunson, and Sarah Bocchi. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Stephen Miller, Amy Bivens, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. Kathy Kleiman has also just joined the call. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for subscription services. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Steve.
Okay, thank you, and welcome, everyone. We've had a very active week on the list with a number of interesting exchanges, some of which I think have helped to move us forward. And we have an ambitious agenda today, but of course we have a lot of work ahead of us as well. So I think the first item on the agenda is for updates to statements of interest. Does anybody have anything they want to update on those? Okay, if not, we can move to item two, which is the revised work plan and a possible face-to-face meeting at ICANN 54. So what is up on the screen now is a document. It's dated 2 July, but I think it's actually supposed to be 20 July. This is an update that the staff prepared. We have been working, we talked last week, I guess, about a work plan that would allow us to file our final report in time for it to be taken up and so that meant finalizing the report in September. There's a good deal of pushback against that, as well as some support for that on the list. So we asked the staff to come up with an alternative timetable for us to look at and talk about today. Meanwhile, the staff raised to us the possibility of having there being funding for approval, authority, whatever, for a face-to-face meeting of the working group on the day before the Dublin meeting, the Friday preceding that meeting. I'm not sure the exact date. So we asked that they work that into this work plan. I guess it's October 16th. So we asked that they work that into this work plan, and this was what was sent out yesterday afternoon, I guess. So I guess I'd open the floor for comments on the work plan and on the face-to-face meeting. Should we have it, and if so, how should we fit that into the work plan? I have some comments on the work plan too, but let me see if we have anybody that wants to speak to this proposed work plan. Oh, I should say that this work plan calls for us to have our final report out on November 9th, which would be in time for it to be taken up at the GNSO Council at its November 19th meeting. So that's the bottom line on this. I see a couple of comments in the chat, and I see Kathy has her hand up. So, Kathy, why don't you go ahead?
Hi, Steve. First, can you hear me? I'm coming in from Skype in Zurich.
I can hear you.
Terrific. Great. First, thank you to everyone who worked on the extended plan. I think it was a much more realistic schedule. Steve, I wanted to ask, for those who planned it, there's a lot of time spent reviewing public comment. Is this really all time about reviewing the public comment, or really the first part's about reviewing the public comment, and the second part of that time is really about incorporating the public comment as much as possible? into the work in the sections that we're looking at.
That's a good point, Kathy. I don't know if the staff has any response to that, but one of my impressions of this is that, you know, at some point you move from review to drafting the report, which is incorporated.
Exactly.
And I think that point may be said a little bit late here in this, because it doesn't talk about drafting the report until it contemplates that we won't have a draft report to look at, in Dublin, if we have that Dublin meeting. And I think that's probably too pessimistic.
Can I follow?
I think if we go ahead.
Can I follow? It would seem to me by the time we get to September 8th, we should be iterating on incorporation, because I know people are going to draft and people are going to edit, and, you know, it's going to go back and forth, I'm sure. So maybe September could be the incorporation process. Or at least we aim for the incorporation process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary, you have your hand up, so why don't you go ahead?
Yes, Steve. Thanks, and thanks, Kathy. I guess, you know, we are using the word review for shorthand, and partly just to get the work plan in, you know, as few pages as possible. What we've done in previous working groups, and I think Amar is saying the same thing in the chat here, is that when we say review, and if you look at the public comment review tool, I think someone pointed out last week that there are a couple of columns for working group response and working group action. So our expectation is that that process is something that's continuous. So, for example, if we do subteams, when the subteam comes back with its report, it will already be suggesting what the working group response and action might be. And then the working group can agree or disagree or change that. And one example of the possible action might be, you know, redraft section whatever to reflect this comment, or change the word, you know, may to must. That sort of thing goes on continuously. So it's not like we have a lot of discussion and review, and then at some point we draft the whole report. And so that's the explanation, and hopefully that's helpful, because we found that to be very effective in other working groups.
Okay, thank you, Mary. That is helpful. Now, obviously, some of the details of this report depend on our discussions later in this meeting about the subteam. So I'm not going to get too hung up on the far right column here. And that's going to, you know, vary anyway. But the overall thrust here is, as noted, some members of the working group felt that the earlier timetable was too ambitious. And although others disagreed and thought we should stick to it, I think I'm hearing consensus or non-objection to stretching out the timetable, so long as we can get the report out in time for the November council meeting. And again, well, yes, some of these details are certainly going to change, and I think hearing some, we don't want to simply still be just reviewing comments when we get into September, and we really should be drafting. But I agree with Mary that it's a somewhat, hopefully a somewhat seamless process in which the review and the incorporation is going on simultaneously. So I see Vicky's hand. If anybody else wants to speak, please raise your hand. Or if you're not in Adobe, just speak up, and we'll put you in the queue. Vicky, go ahead.
Thank you. Just to say that I generally agree with what I'm hearing, and the idea of having, you know, a decent revised draft by Dublin, if we have a Dublin meeting for discussion, sounds like a goal that we should be working toward, and then having the final draft by whatever the date is, the November date. Also, to that end, assuming that we're going to get the working groups moving quickly, it seems like we can spend the next 2 weeks working hard within our subteams. I'm sorry, I meant subteams. And then, you know, be ready to present to, you know, back to the working group maybe in 2 weeks and see where we're at. I'd like to throw that out for consideration as well.
Okay, let's get to that really when we talk to the subteams and what are realistic timetables for them. first one is just getting started, and you're right, it may well be they won't have a lot to report by next week. But let's if we can defer that to that discussion. Okay, are there any other comments?
Steve, it's Jim Bykoff.
Yeah, Jim, go ahead, and then Mary has her hand up. Jim, go ahead.
I know there's a proposal to increase the length of these calls by a half hour starting next week. I and I'm sure others have some problems with that. We have conflicts with other calls and other matters, and I would like to suggest that, especially because of the work subgroups, which is going to be going on between calls, that we keep it at 1 hour only and not go to 1.5 hours.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Yeah, that's certainly appropriate here for discussion within the work plan. I guess there are two points there. One is that because people have other commitments, if we are going to extend the calls, I think we need to give people more than 1 week's notice of that if we can. But the second point is, you know, does it make sense to extend the calls, or is more work going to be going on in the sub team? So I think that's a valid, you know, valid concern, and I'd like to hear other people's views on that. I see some support for that in the chat from Kathy and Val and Kieran. So Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. And I wanted to address the proposed face-to-face meeting because obviously people will already be making their travel arrangements if they're going, and if not, presumably they will need to block out that time on their calendars. And so two things. One is that this would be very much in terms of duration and objective, like the one that we had in Los Angeles a while ago. Secondly, though, we would, from the staff side, urge that a decision be made very quickly, partly for the travel plans for people, of course, but partly also for scheduling in Dublin, because you know, obviously we would need to be sure that we get the room, get the staff support, etc. Also, the GNSO Council meeting this Thursday, is the place where Marika and I plan to mention that if they're going to select a working group, that they do it soon and that it might most likely be this group. So if we can get some indication by Thursday morning East Coast time, or you know, preferably actually even some indication from folks on the list between now and Thursday, if they have any sort of violent objections or any serious problems, that would be very helpful to staff. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. On the face-to-face meeting, this is Steve speaking again. I guess a couple of questions. One is that if that's an all-day meeting, how literally are we taking that? I know some flights arrive in the morning in Dublin, and so is this something that you'd have to come in on Thursday morning in order to make the Friday meeting, or is it more likely that we could run this from, you know, 10 to 5 or 11 to 5, something like that, so that people could arrive on Friday? That's one question. The other question is there going to be any travel support or lodging support provided? There was some 1 day of lodging support provided to a limited number of people for the LA meeting, as I recall. So would that be part of the package for this face-to-face call? And then the final question I would have, and I see Mary's has her hands up to answer all these questions, is at the LA meeting, we attempted to have a professional facilitator. That didn't work out because he fell ill. We did have a facilitator we had Thomas Rickert help us in that meeting to in effect chair portions of that meeting and help summarize what was going on, which I thought was useful. So what would be the plan as far as facilitation for this meeting? So let me just ask, Mary has her hand up so she can respond to that, but let me just ask also if others have views on the face-to-face meeting good idea, bad idea, or comments on how it should be structured, please raise your hand or speak up if you're not in Adobe.
Thanks, Steve. I'm just going to start speaking while folks are typing or thinking about it. And obviously, I think the full day is something that we would just, as staff, you know, kind of book the room for. Sort of better to do the max in case we do need it. But in terms of the actual scheduling, I certainly don't think that the working group is tied to a full day. So it certainly be up to the group in terms of how much time it thinks it will need, and that will obviously depend on the progress we've made till then. In terms of the travel support, our anticipation is that it will be very similar to what was offered in Los Angeles, which would be hotel only rather than airfare. We found since then that, you know, there are some groups that may not send their full complement. So the chairs of that particular working group that's being, you know, having its meeting have some discretion and flexibility as to maybe you increase the number of people for one night across the board, or maybe you increase the number of nights for the people who are able to be there. The whole idea, obviously, being to get an adequate diversity and representativeness at the meeting, which I should also say, you know, even though when we first started this plan, it was, you know, not thought that we would need so much remote participation, that's obviously something I think people expect, and we would offer that as well. I don't recall, Steve, I think you had a third point. I'm sorry, it's completely slipped my mind.
Facilitation, professional.
Oh, yes. And I think that that would, again, depend on the working group. You feel that it would be helpful. I think that ties in a little bit to Kathy's question in the chat as to whether this meeting would be needed. And obviously, this is up to the group and the chairs. From the staff perspective, because we've observed a few, we believe that this could be very helpful, even if it's not an entire day. It might also be that at this stage in the work, you know, having a facilitator come in might be not too helpful if you guys are going to be diving into the substance, and it would be difficult for a professional facilitator to really be part of that. But if it's really trying to find consensus on clear proposals that might be, you know, total opposites, and I'm, you know, speculating here, then a facilitator may be more helpful in that scenario. So I know I'm not giving a yes or no answer, but I think most of this really is up to the working group, except for the travel support, which would depend on how many people are able to be there, and the chairs may have some discretion there.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to Paul has his hand up, and then James. Before I do that, let me just note in the chat, several people are saying there are things that conflict with this. ICG, CCWG may have a conflict on Friday, and Amr is indicating the GNSO counselors may have a conflict on Friday. You know, conflicts are inevitable, so, you know, we can't totally avoid that, but that's just something to take into account. So let me ask Paul and then James for their comments on this.
Thanks, Steve. This is Paul McGrady for the record. This comment's just about the facilitator. I would encourage us not to bring in a third-party facilitator who does not have the background on what's been discussed for the last many months. I didn't find the facilitation in Los Angeles to be helpful, and that I found us going back and rehashing old issues that had already been thoroughly discussed in great length and settled among us. So if for what it's worth, I would prefer that the co-chairs run the face-to-face meeting in Dublin and that we stay on task with finalizing the handful of issues that remain in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. James?
Hi, James Gunn. So on the topic of the independent facilitator, I suppose I somewhat agree with Paul, actually. I don't think bringing somebody entirely independent out from the outside would be useful. But I would suggest possibly, and I know that he's obviously going to be very busy at the time, but if we possibly invite Thomas back, as he may have a little bit more of an insight into the goings on and might actually be a little bit more useful than somebody who is entirely independent. I think if he comes back to us with a no, then possibly trying to get somebody up to speed, even if they are a professional in the area, is going to be possibly a little bit too much of a disruption to the proceedings on the day.
Okay. Let me see if there are any other comments on the face-to-face meeting. The impression I'm getting is that people want to think about this a little bit. There's some support for it, but some feeling that it may be so late in the process that it would not be that useful. I think there is not much support for an independent facilitator. There's some mixed reviews on Thomas's role. We can kind of deal with that a little bit later, I think. And then I think you've answered the question on gravel support. And also, Mary has answered the question. We have some timing flexibility. We don't have to have it be a full day meeting. It could be a bit less than that if that's more convenient for people as they're arriving. So I see in the chat that apparently there's not a conflict with the GNSO Council on that day. But as James pointed out, he thinks there may be some conflicts with other groups like the CCWG. So, again, we can't totally avoid conflicts, but if there's too much conflict, then that's a big problem. So I don't think we've got a clear signal on this, but I think it's probably in line for Mary and the staff to tell the council on Thursday that there is some interest, but not necessarily a commitment to do so. And I get the impression, Mary, that there is not any other working group that it would be competing for this slot if there is one. Is that correct?
Steve, from the staff perspective, that's correct, because the other existing working groups are not at the same type of stage, and, of course, it first has to be a PDP working group. And I think the other big ones that are coming down the pipe might not have been formed yet, or at best would be at a very early stage.
Okay, thank you. So I think the echo problem, at least I'm not hearing an echo right now. Hopefully others are not. So everyone please mute your mics if you're not speaking. That's about where we're ending up on the face-to-face interest, but no definite decision. Please, folks, check your schedules and think about this as to whether you would like to have this face-to-face meeting. And as we will be late in the process, and I think we will be focused on the final report at that point, it could potentially be useful. A little hard to say right now, but please think about that over the next week. Just to tie up one loose end here, I think there was general support in the chat and in the comments that came in not to go to 90-minute meetings, at least not to go to one next week. So I think the two points I would draw from this discussion is that if we won't go to the 90-minute meeting next week, if we do go to a 90-minute meeting, we should try to give some advance, more than a week's advance notice of that. I don't think we should rule that out. I understand that it's not ideal and that people have other demands on their time, but it may be, since we have a lot to do, and even with the expanded schedule, not a lot of time to do it, we may have to go to longer meetings at some point, but I think, unless I'm – I'd welcome other views on this, but I'm not hearing support for doing it next week, and we can kind of play this by ear. And if we need to give people a little advance notice of it, is that summary sound correct? And a couple of people mentioned 90-minute meetings are better than scheduling additional meetings of the working group. Okay, I think that unless people have other comments on the possible face-to-face meeting and on the work plan, I think we can move on to the sub-team issues We talked last week and in the interim about setting up sub-teams to look at how particular questions. Thank you for putting this list up. Looking at particular questions and how these are responded to in the comments that we've received. since then, we've had a lot of discussion about whether there should be a broader look at. Let me put it this way: these three subteams are kind of directed at questions we asked in the draft report, in the initial report, places where we specifically said, "What do you think?" And I think the viewpoint was that there may be some comments that are responsive to questions we didn't ask that raised issues that we should be considering, and that we need to identify those issues and figure out a way to analyze them. Kathy had raised that concern, and one way to deal with that would be to have the group try to come up with those issues and then figure out whether they need to be allocated to a subteam, an existing subteam, or handled in some other way. Another approach would be for people that aren't, that may not be as interested or as focused on questions that are being looked at by the subteams, to form their own group and go through the comments and try to pick out those new questions or additional questions that we need to address. Those are two options anyway that are on the table. Before I go to the queue, let me just say that we have gotten started with this first subteam on 1-3-2, which is the questions about relay escalation and law enforcement. And Alex and Lindsay have agreed to co-convene that group. I'm sure they would welcome additional participants, but we would need to know that soon. So if you want to step forward, please do so in the next day or two. Mary has delivered to them a matrix that kind of goes through all the comments and says, here's what they said on these 1.3.2 questions. So that's certainly a very, very valuable starting point for their work. Let me turn to the queue now on the question of subteams, and I've got Volker, Kathy, and Paul. So we'll go in that order. Again, if you're not in the Adobe room, please just speak up if you want to get in the queue. Volker, go ahead.
Thank you, Volker Kleinman, speaking for the record. I agree that these subteams will probably be very helpful in analyzing the comments for the questions that we've asked. However, we should be very careful not to let it rest at that. I think the comments have been very broad. They have been to topics that we haven't asked about, but that are in the report. And we will need more and deeper analysis of everything that these comments state, not just the questions that we've asked. So these subteams are very helpful for our questions, but they will not be sufficient if we want to draft an all-inclusive.
Volker, are you still there? See, the screen has gone blank here. People,
bam.
There we go. Okay. we had a momentary glitch there, I think. Thank you, Volker. Yeah, I think I don't think people disagree that there are questions that we didn't ask that need to be addressed because they've been raised by the comments. So the question really is how best to, tease those out and analyze those. That's one of the questions before us. So Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. Thanks. With great respect, I think we did ask both general questions and specific questions. And certainly the subteams are responding to some specific questions that we asked. But we also asked the general question, do people agree with the consensus that we were presenting to them? And we got a range of different responses. And, it's hard. It's hard to deal when the public responds and they don't exactly use our vocabulary or our talking points. But I think we have to try to figure it out. We know the U.S. Federal Communications Commission struggled with this when they got 4 million comments on net neutrality. And, you know, not all of them spoke in FCCEs, and our commenters are not speaking in ICANNese. But nonetheless, we kind of have to grapple with it. And I really feel if we don't assign some additional subtopics to the subteams, and I like the subteam process, and in fact, I wouldn't even expand. I'd recommend we not expand the subteam process because after other people who I think have been holding back to try to figure out time frame and topics, after everyone volunteers, we should have very diverse subteams engaged in this review. So I'd like to recommend some additional subtopics or additional topics for the subteam and just say quickly, you know, where I got these. And so I circulated the email on it last night because I've been going through as I've been traveling, you know, on the planes, I've been reading the comments. And so due process. We're getting a lot of calls for due process, and that is not necessarily or exclusively for court orders. So how can, you know, what do the comments say, and how can this call for due process and this call for balance and fairness be incorporated into each aspect of our work? But I would say particularly those who are reviewing Annex E, the illustrative disclosure framework. So, for example, you might say, you know, due process should be, we should analyze the appeal. The idea of unlimited appeals and who participates in them, and the standards of the appeals when a proxy privacy provider declines a reveal. How do we bring due process into that appeal? So this kind of analysis, due process, where does it belong, and what we've been working on, and some of the additional issues that are part of what we're doing. The second issue would be the use and abuse of proxy privacy registrations and who is. There's a lot of new data on there and a lot of new information about how people use, how legitimate users use proxy and privacy registrations. I think we should be capturing some of that. I think it's really critical. We've got a new record here, and that can help inform, as we understand better some of the abuses of WHOIS data, that may help inform some of the recommendations that we're drafting now. And then a miscellaneous category. What is it we're missing as people talk about anonymity and chilling effects and all sorts of other things that I know people can fill in the blanks on? You know, where's the miscellaneous category for what issues are being raised that we better need to address in our draft recommendations? So let me present those three additional topics that I would love to see assigned also to the subteams that are reviewing some of these bigger topics that we asked for as well. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Again, yeah, I think we need to identify the topics and then figure out how we're going to deal with those additional topics. Paul is next in the queue, and then James.
Hi, Paul McGrady for the record. Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Kathy. I do think that some of the additional questions raised in the comments that were not anticipated by our questions are very important. And I think that we should consider forming an additional subteam to look for those, to tease them out, to find out whether or not they can be assigned to the current listed subteams, whether or not they're sort of independent thoughts that need further evaluation, and then move from there. I think that is probably the most efficient way to make sure that the subteams are looking at things that relate to their specific topics, but also that we don't miss an important comment just because it doesn't fit into the three squares that we've drawn as a team. So, I think we should do that, and I would like to volunteer to be on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. James, go ahead.
Hi, James. So, I'm going to be pragmatic here. So the issues which we're classing as not that we didn't directly ask in questions, I think they're possibly some of our most divisive issues within the group. And I think that this is something that we should address as a whole. I think that these are some fundamental questions that not all of us may agree on. Some of us think that, you know, we should be revisiting certain things. Some people think that what's done is done and we should keep moving on. And others think that it may not be relevant to our work at all. And I think that regardless of what way we classify them, they're fundamental questions to both the work we've done and the work we're going to do going ahead. And I missed the start of the call, so I'm very supportive of the extended timeline, by the way. But I think that the questions that are possibly the big questions that have came in through the thousands and thousands of comments that we've received, and also we've received some extremely substantial comments, content-wise and also due to the groups that submitted them, around basically some of the fundamentals of the group. And I would suggest that we don't put that off into a sub-team, because the sub-teams are supposed to be very focused. They're supposed to be addressing a specific topic and a specific issue. So that was the genesis of the sub-teams in our use here, which came from the CCWG and the CWG. And large fundamental issues were not supposed to be discussed in sub-teams in the way that we use them back there. So I would suggest that the larger questions that we have to address as a group, we address those as a whole, because they're going to be something that we need strong discussion over, and at the end of the day, we need to come to consensus on this. If we're to have a final report that comes out that's going to be productive and is going to pass the council and become, you know, good ICANN policy, we need to have a substantial discussion on it. And I think the place for those more fundamental style questions is within the working group as a whole rather than the sub-team.
Okay, thank you. So between Paul and James, we have two different approaches suggested to this. Paul, is that a new hand, or is that the old hand?
Yeah, it's a new hand.
Okay, Paul, and then Todd and Phil.
So I'm not suggesting that by forming a subgroup to locate these issues, that all of these issues will be dispatched by that subgroup and settled. I think that we've got to identify the additional questions and comments first, find those homes, and then maybe work a little bit on the substance of the comments. But I agree with James that some of these will need to be addressed by the whole, but the organization of those, finding of those, ranking of those, for discussion, that can be handled by the sub-team. And some of them we may find that while they raise new and novel issues, they may not be the ones that we have time as a whole to deal with. My concern about James' approach is that if we do this by the whole, then we're back in the pre-sub-team days of all of us looking through all of these comments and discussing all the comments one by one, which defeats the purposes of the sub-teams in the first place. So I'm closer to James's position than it appears that I am, but I do think that the additional questions sub-team is a vital one if we're actually going to get to those comments and give them the due weight that they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I've got Todd next.
Thanks. Todd Williams for the transcript. Just if it looks like we are going to an additional group to look at these additional questions, and I agree with everything that's been said so far that is worthwhile, is there a way that group can report back to the bigger group relatively soon in that process with a kind of enumerated list of these are the additional questions that we identified that we are looking at? And the reason that I say that is to the extent there's any overlap with the three sub-teams that have already been formed, we wouldn't want to duplicate efforts because that would defeat the purpose of doing this process. My hunch is that there are discrete issues that would fall under that additional questions definition, but I would just want that sub-team to confirm that before we go too far down that road. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Timing issue. Let's see, I've got Phil and then Kathy.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Phil Corwin for the record. I'm going to, on the topic of an additional sub-team for additional issues, I'm agnostic on that. If the group thinks that would be helpful, I'm fine with that. What I wanted to speak on is slightly different but related, and there was no other place in today's agenda to discuss it. But having reviewed all the back and forth on the email list over the past few days about disagreement or about what to do about the many opposition emails, comments that were submitted, which some people feel were based on misinformation or one-sided presentation or whatever. I want to take a slightly different approach. I think for the good of the final report, we should presume that we should do everything possible to address those comments, to create a record showing that we took them seriously in some way, and perhaps even did some something unusual, some type of proactive outreach to the groups that generated the comments, explaining where we think they're wrong, creating a record to show they were taken seriously, only because we can presume that the groups that generated over 11,000 comments on the initial report, if they are not happy with the final report, they will generate that many or more and perhaps direct to ICANN board members, and that could seriously hinder the adoption of a final report. So I think we should, you know, there's an old saying in politics, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I don't want to say that those folks who commented are enemies, but I think we need to create a record going forward of taking that opposition, even if among us, those of us who may think it's misinformed, and create a record saying that it was seriously considered by this working group, taken into account in the final recommendations. You know, some of that on the due process goes into various subgroups. I think that's fine because the working group is going to, the full group is going to review and pass muster on all of the subgroup reports. So I hope that suggestion is somewhat helpful for facilitating a final report that has a chance of, decent chance of getting adopted by the board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Phil. I mean, I guess my only response to that is that we know that some of the groups that generated many of these comments are very well represented on this working group, so I'm not that I don't see outreach to them as a problem, but some groups aren't, so I think your point is well taken. Kathy, you're next.
Thanks, Steve. I find myself agreeing with just about everybody, but in particular, I like Paul's idea. Initially, I hadn't really understood the idea of creating a new sub-team, but that would run in parallel with the other three sub-teams, which everyone wants to be on one or more of, I'm sure, because they're dealing with, you know, fundamental issues that we're working on. But if, as Paul says, as Paul has suggested, a sub-team is created to rapidly review remaining topics that need to be addressed. And then, in culling through the comments, just with that specific goal of culling through the comments, helping, not exclusively, you know, there's still issues that will come back to the working group as a whole, but culling through all these comments for existing issues that can then feed back into existing sub-teams, or maybe, as Mary suggested, rapidly help create a new sub-team or two that may emerge. I think that makes sense. It creates a dedicated group of people looking at the issues, and so I will, of course, join Paul in volunteering for it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. As I hear that proposal, that's a team to identify these additional questions, you know, and to propose an allocation of them, whether it's to the full group or to an existing sub-team or to a new sub-team. This is obviously something important to do. We don't want to get too far down the line on this. It's also a big job because you really have to look through everything. But I think we've already had a couple of volunteers for that, Paul being one, and I think Kathy was volunteering. And I will say Kathy raised this concern and is the one who has brought forward a couple of issues that she thinks fall into that category. And I think if more folks would participate in doing that, we would come up with a pretty good list of identified and recommended allocation for topics. I guess whether you call that a sub-team or whatever you call it, if there's some people that are willing to devote some time over the next week or two to doing that and reporting back to the full group with their list of identified topics hopefully fairly well defined, and their recommendations on how we ought to deal with them. I think that would be worthwhile. I see James volunteering. I think for this, I don't know if that's what you're volunteering for. Thank you. Okay, I'm reading further down in the chat, and Stephanie volunteering. As I said, Paul and Kathy are on the list. Palmer has put his name on the list. So is that we can call it a sub-team or whatever we can want to call it, but it's basically the Identification and Allocation Task Force. And as I understand it, this would work in parallel. We're still going to start our three other teams. We've got one up and running. I'd like more people to jump in on the other two. And it's possible that these teams would be asked to take on some additional topics that come out of the identification and allocation process. I that's why I say recommending allocation, because I don't want to have a bait and switch here. I don't want people stepping forward to be part of these subgroups and then finding that they have a lot of issues they didn't even anticipate. So we'll have to negotiate that perhaps. But does that sound to folks like a reasonable way forward? Almer's calling it a spin-off team, and maybe that's a good. Anyway, that's when it's kind of out there on the table now. I see some support in the chat and among the. So let me ask. I've got Kathy and James in the queue. I had Kathy and James in the queue, but they seem to have taken their hands down.
Old hands, Steve. Old hands.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, James Gunn. I'm just putting it out there. There's a lot of both on the non-commercial side on that additional topic team, so I'd welcome people from the other side of the field, shall we call it, to come onto that team as well, just to have some balance.
Yeah, we do want that, and again, people not on this call or people after this call may be in a position to step forward. James Bodell, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I think to James's point and what Marion's put in the chat, it would be great if we could circulate this list of sub-team membership to the greater mailing list after the call. I know there's a couple of folks that we probably want to get assigned that aren't currently here today.
Absolutely. I think we should list all these sub-teams and encourage people to step forward. And I think in Mary's message, Mary, did that go to the full list as well, your message to the 132 group? You mentioned that you can provide, the staff can provide some support in terms of wiki pages, or obviously you provided the template, and you are providing the template, and there are other help that you, other support that you can provide. But we need people on all these teams, and and again, I think if we can do this in parallel, we may be able to make a good make some good. Okay, let me just see if there are any other comments or questions on this. I'm sorry, James Gannon, is that a new hand?
Yeah, just very briefly. I know Maria had suggested it on our last call because she had a lot to do with during the CWG meeting, and so there's a lot of, I won't say experience, but a lot of background on, you know, organizational methods for what we call the design teams on the CWG side. So if Mary, I think she might have already, but if Mary wants to reach out to the team that ran the design teams on the CWG side, there's a lot of possibly things around Google Docs and support services that were done on that side that might be useful to us on this side, just from a process and efficiency point of view.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. I'm sure Mary will be in touch with them. So Mary has put in the chat that what she will circulate. We will ask for volunteers. And in terms of next week's meeting, we've already decided it will be not be a 90-minute meeting. The question is whether we will have anything from any of the subgroups that we want to work on then, or maybe any questions, and we can at least evaluate where the different subteams are in terms of organization. But I'm not sure that we would, not quite sure what the call would deal with beyond that, because I think if we're successful here, we're actually getting a lot of work done in these subteams, and we may not have output from them next week. Hopefully, we will have something from the 1.3. We'll at least have progress reports on where we stand with all the subteams, and obviously we can also see if we can come to a decision on the face-to-face, which we've asked to think further about. Okay, are there any other points that people wish to raise on this call? Okay, if not, then we'll give you back 7 minutes for other productive uses. Thanks, everyone, for your participation. Please keep an eye out for what Mary is going to send around, and please step forward on these subteams. And we will, by the way, we'll also designate co-conveners, for each subteam to kind of be the people in charge of getting the ball rolling and making sure that there is forward progress. And I want to thank Alex and Lindsay for volunteering to do that on subteam one, and we will have something similar on these other subteams as well. Okay, if there's no
thank
other
you.
Business, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Cindy. You may now stop the recordings.